Hello, and welcome to the second episode of Ola at Large, Olia Stories. This is David Levine, and I'll be talking to you about my process of making Aliyah, moving to Israel. In the previous episode, I talked a bit about my background and why I have made the decision to make Aliyah. And in this episode, we're going to talk about how you begin to actually do it and what the choices are. So I'm going to put a bit of a caveat in here in that the way that I'm doing this is in a particular way because of my background and my family and my circumstances. Clearly, everyone's circumstance is going to be different, and people will take different routes to make their choices to make Aliyah. So I'll talk about the general choices and then talk about the choices that I wound up making and how it's been going. To start with, the way that Jews around the world are able to make Aliyah, move to Israel, is because of what's called the Law of Return. In 1950, Israel passed the law and basically said that every Jew has a right to immigrate to the country. And the law was amended a couple times, significantly in 1970, where Israel took the step of granting automatic citizenship to not only Jews, but also to non-Jewish children, grandchildren, and spouses, so that the families wouldn't be separated, and also because those folks could also be the subject of anti-Semitism because of their Jewish connections. So that was going to be my ticket in. That's my ticket into the country. And my parents made Aliyah about 10 years ago, so they went through the process of proving that they're Jewish. And so I figured I could maybe get a pass because they already proved it. I can prove I'm their kid, ipso facto, Jew. But it is not so easy. Unfortunately, it is as complicated for me as it is for anybody else, regardless of the fact that my parents also went through this whole process. Another bit that's made it interesting for me is that I have two citizenships. I am a U.S. citizen. I was born in the U.S. And then right before COVID really hit in 2020, I had the opportunity to become a U.K. citizen. And actually, I was pretty lucky. My swearing-in ceremony was in February of 2020, and I was actually able to do it. Person in the courthouse, swore my loyalty to the Queen, may she rest in peace, and got my UK citizenship. And so now, being a dual citizen, there were two paths for me to go in. I could apply as a US citizen, or I could apply as a UK citizen. So what's involved in applying to be an Israeli citizen? Well, as you can imagine, lots of paperwork. Not a surprise. That's pretty much the standard course for applying for any country citizenship. And the interesting bit about the law of return is that you have to prove that you're a Jew. Now, when I heard this, of course, I had some funny ways of thinking about how one could prove you're a Jew, particularly if you're a man, but that's not how it happens. That's not how it goes. You need a letter from a rabbi that attests to your being Jewish. And there's actually some specifics with it. The rabbi needs to be a congregational rabbi, which means that they are the head of a congregation, as opposed to a rabbi that is a teacher in a yeshiva or a school, or a rabbi just that doesn't have a congregation. And since I had an option of applying as a U.S. citizen or a U.K. citizen, I had to pick a lane, basically. Essentially, I needed to make a decision if I was going to apply as a U.S. citizen or a U.K. citizen. So all of my documents would be coming from the U.S., essentially, including the letter from the rabbi, or they would be coming from the U.K. And actually, what wound up happening is that I essentially, because I've been in the U.K. for the past 10 years, I had to double up on all of my documents regardless. So I had to get everything that I had for the U.S. also in the U.K. And the question became whether or not I could find a rabbi in either of the countries to attest to the fact that I was Jewish. And my concern was that I didn't really quite have a rabbi in the UK that could do the letter for me. I have a rabbi that I am close with, but he's not a congregational rabbi. And I haven't lived in the US in 10 years. So I was a little concerned about where would I find a rabbi in the US that would state that I'm a Jew. Thankfully, the rabbi that I grew up with is still alive and well, Rabbi Benjamin Blech from Oceanside, but I didn't really quite feel like tracking him down to ask for any kind of documentation. But I had a very good idea, which was that I had a friend from elementary school who became a congregational rabbi in Denver, Rabbi Barry Gelman. We know each other since we're about 5 or 6 years old. We went to each other's bar mitzvahs. We sang together in the Miami Boys Choir. And so he certainly has been a part of my Jewish life, certainly my younger Jewish life when I was a kid. And I reached out to Barry and Rabbi Gelman, and he was more than willing to write me the letter that would establish that I am in fact a Jew. So with that piece in hand, I have to start putting together all of the different documents that establish my identity, both in the US and the UK, all the documents and records that indicate what my police record is. As one of the rules in the law of return is that very dangerous criminals, even if they are Jewish, can't make Aliyah. So I had to prove that I'm not a very dangerous criminal. And it's a lot of paperwork. One of the other benefits that you get as a immigrant coming to Israel is actually a free flight to Israel. And I could get that flight either from the U.S. If I was applying as a U.S. citizen, I could get that flight from the U.S., but I couldn't get the free flight from the U.K. And if I was applying from the U.K., I could get the free flight from the U.K. And then it turns out there's an additional option, which is to apply from within the country itself, foregoing the free flight. And applying within the country means you can basically just go to the government office and apply with your documents in hand. But you got to make sure all of your documents are up to snuff. And so with all of these different choices and all these different options, it can clearly be a little confusing as to what to do. Thankfully, there are organizations out there that help people make the decisions and guide them through the process. Different organizations exist for different nationalities, which makes sense because the organizations specialize in either government policy, specific governments, or languages. So you've got an organization that helps French-speaking people. Then you have, for English speakers, there's a couple different ones. One for the U.S. citizens, one for U.K. citizens. In the end, I decided to make my citizenship application as a U.S. citizen. And I used Nefesh B'Nefesh, the organization that helps Americans to make my Aliyah. And it's a very cool organization. They have a cool headquarters in Jerusalem, and they really are the go-to organization for most people making Aliyah from the United States. Next episode, we're going to have as a guest someone from Nefesh B'Nefesh who was able to help me go through the process. And we'll talk about step-by-step, the options and all the different paperwork that you have to put together, and some tips about how long certain things take and how soon you should be making sure you've got documents. Here's a spoiler. Get your actual birth certificate in hand as soon as you can, because depending on where you live, it takes forever to get it from your government office. The Israeli word of the episode is sababa. My friend Guy Carney told me that if you only know one word in Hebrew, sababa is the word to know. Sababa is used to indicate something's cool, something's good. You usually use it at the end of a sentence or when someone asks you to do something or if you're in agreement, then you just say sababa. It's cool. And it's a good Israeli word of the day because actually it has its origins in Arabic and it's used across Israel, across everybody, I think. And it's a good word to use. So thanks, Guy, for the tip on sababa. That's it for today's episode. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for more episodes coming every week. And you'll hear all about what the steps are to make Aliyah. This has been a Dalit production for Lightboat Media. Thank you.